Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout the Christmas season, we've been pondering Emmanuel, God with us, and Yeshua, God saves, that God is always with us, seeking to extend his mercy to us, and that the whole response we have to this mystery is to remain in God's presence, to allow that mercy to become constitutive in our life, to fill us in such a way that we begin to be signs of God's presence to others because we're like our merciful Father extending his mercy toward others. That Christmas mystery dovetails into ordinary time, which we begin today. And Jesus, as he begins his public ministry, reiterates those essential truths. The time is fulfilled. In other words, the long wait is over. All your aspirations are about to come true. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. It's here among you because the King is here. God is with us. Repent. Receive his offer of mercy. Make straight those paths. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's how he begins. He begins actually with four verbs, which are crucial for us to live ordinary time well. First verb is repent. Second is believe. Third is follow me, come after me. And the fourth is go fish. And each of these in this year of mercy is meant to be looked at through that prism. And so to get ordinary time off to the start that God wants to grace us with, let's look at these four basic verbs of the Christian life from the angle of God's abiding mercy. First word out of Jesus' mouth is repent, metanoiete in Greek, a revolution in your mind. Stop thinking about things the way everybody else thinks about them. Stop finding solace in the fact that 92% of people think or do that. Start to put on my mind, start to look at reality with the from the perspective of the real world, look at it in union with me. To repent, to turn around from worldliness so that you might properly be able to do the next thing and enter into my kingdom. If the kingdom of God is at hand, we need to make a choice between whether we're going to live in the kingdom of our own making, seeking this worldly goals, or whether we're going to go into the Lord's kingdom. For some people here in this word repent, it means a major turnaround in their life. For many of the rest of us, it means a major turnaround in just one part of the life. But every part of us that is not yet in the kingdom, Jesus is calling us to turn around. And in his mercy, he gives us the means to be able to do that. We turn from worldly ways and we open ourselves to his mercy. Second verb, pistete, believe, trust. In order for us to turn toward God, we have to trust that what he says is true. When Jesus was first announcing these words, it really didn't seem like the kingdom of God was at hand, that the time was fulfilled. Herod Antipas was still ruling over Judea by the Jordan. He was about to arrest John the Baptist. The Romans were still occupying Palestine. It seemed totally false what Jesus was saying. And yet it was true. But the only people who were able to enter into that kingdom were those who trusted in the king enough. Likewise, it might seem to us that God's mercy really isn't around. We see so much mercilessness in the world. Even in religious communities, we can suffer as a result of a lack of mercy. We can see in our own heart, despite all our efforts, that there's so much room for mercy to grow. So many instances in which we're not yet merciful like the Father. We can disbelieve, we can doubt, and the devil's constantly trying to insinuate himself into our situation so that we will doubt. But Jesus says, believe. And we know how faith works. Faith is a total adherence to a person. And on the basis of that trust in the person, we trust in what the person says. Even if it's not within our line of sight yet, we know that it's there. We know that it's real. Over the course of this year, the image of this Jubilee ought not really to be Ruvnik's three-eyed caring of the lost sheep or the brother or however you want to phrase it. As beautiful as the Jesuits' attempt was, it really needs to be what Jesus himself asked for. You know, it's curious. Jesus just didn't want an image of himself blessing us with the mercy depicted by the blood and water flowing from his pierced side. Jesus specifically asked that an expression be written on the image, which is a weird thing to do with a painting. Jesu you ufam tobi. Sister, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But Jesus, I trust in you. And he wants us to open ourselves to the gift of faith so that we might trust in him. But I trust in you. I trust, I believe that your kingdom has come and that the world is going to be turned right side up with your mercy. Second verb that we're supposed to be growing in ordinary time in response to his help. Third verb, follow me. Once we've turned our back on worldly ways and turned toward the Lord, once we've believed in him enough to act, now we must act. So he says, get up from where you are. Don't stay put. Come. Get moving. Come follow me. Now notice he doesn't say, follow me here to this place of comfort. He doesn't even say where he's going. Like with Abraham, when he said, just leave your Ur and go to a place where I will show you. We don't know how it's going to end up. We don't know the valleys, we don't know the mountains, we don't know the storms. But we trust in him enough to know that his kingdom is here and we're going to follow him into that kingdom. As I like to preach, Jesus, when he comes out of mercy, never really comes into our living room. Even though his kingdom is at hand, what we observe is he comes into a village or he comes right outside the village, or he goes up on a mountain after walking by the shore, so that all of us have to move, so that it's not too easy, but that we have to get up and we have to go. We have to follow him because our faith is dynamic. It's meant to change us. And the kingdom is wherever God is, and God is on the move constantly on that mission of mercy. So we need to be capable of leaving. Today in the gospel we have such beautiful examples. Simon and Andrew, James and John. When Jesus calls them, they get up and they move. We know from St. Luke's version of this account that they had just had the biggest catch of their life, that Peter found himself totally unworthy of being in the Lord's presence. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. When Jesus called those words, follow me, they got up and they followed. We give thanks, sisters, that the Lord has barged into our life with his mercy, and at some point, in some way, he said to each of us, just like he said to these four apostles, come follow me. And he gave us the grace to trust in him enough and to believe in his kingdom, to turn away from worldly ways to do so. But throughout this year of mercy, he's constantly calling us more to follow him even more closely, even more intimately. And he likewise is going to give us the help we need to be able to do it. We just need to know that he's not going to say, stay put, you're exactly as I want you already. No, because he loves us, he's going to try to form us through his mercy more and more into his image. It's the third verb, the dynamism of our faith. Ordinary time is a time on the move, where Jesus' two main verbs are come and go. And that leads us to the fourth point. Fourth verb, I will make you fishers of men. He was preparing to send them on out to do for others what he had previously done for them, to call people to repentance, to call people to faith, and to show them the inspiring example of their own faith, capable of leaving everything behind, trusting in the Lord's word, to show them what it means to follow the Lord and to invite them to follow alongside as part of this great pilgrimage of the church, and to become missionary disciples in communion so that we might all be Jesus' great fishing company, going out to try to catch everyone with the same bait with which we had previously been caught, which is the Lord Jesus himself. His mercy, this is what he's doing this year. As we celebrate today this votive mass of the mercy of God, we ask him ever more for the grace to do all four of these things. Constantly each day, repent. Repent of all those ways that our hearts been distracted on things that are not really ordered toward the Lord. To open ourselves up to an increase in faith, because the faith can always be intensified. To see more and more the ways that the Lord is asking us to follow him. Not just follow him in the general direction, but to follow him up close, specifically, intimately. Sometimes he's going to be calling us to follow him in infinite patience toward those who will try our patience, just like he is infinitely patient with us. To forgive 491 and 92 and 93 times to somebody who has hurt us, might be calling us to cross the chapel or to cross the road in order to be able to care for someone that nobody else does. But he's going to be constantly trying to expand our faith and our participation in his mercy by giving us that word, come after me, because we know that it's Satan that tries to lead the Lord. And when Peter was doing it, Jesus called him by that very vocative. And then lastly, to go out. If this has really worked, if we've truly repented, if we're really believing, if we're genuinely following the Lord, then the apostle is the most natural thing. Then the fruit comes from the tree. We just want to share our joy with others. We're not proselytizing, as Pope Francis says, twisting people's arms to follow us. We're just constantly making that same invitation, because to fish with Jesus is the most exhilarating thing in the world. Today in the first reading, we see an image of God's mercy toward Anna. And there's a point in here which can illustrate for us this great series of four verbs that the Lord gives us in the Gospel. Every year they went up into the temple, and Elkanah used to give Peninnah and all her kids that he and she had had together portions to offer in sacrifice. But Peninnah's focus in the temple was not on loving God and sacrificing to him. It wasn't really on helping her children to learn how to love and sacrifice to the Lord, how to be grateful for his mercy, how to turn things around. Instead, she went into the temple with a sense of rivalry. Even though she had been blessed in a particular way that Hannah had not, she wanted to step on Hannah in the very temple of God. So to upset Hannah, she turned it into a constant reproach that the Lord had left her barren, mocking Hannah in the temple. You see the terrible ugliness of evil. But we also see a very important lesson. Sometimes even when we're in God's house, even when we're in his presence, even when the kingdom has come, our hearts are set totally on things contrary to what he wants. And Jesus was going to fulfill Hannah's prayer. Hannah, even though she was suffering, even though she was mourning, recognized that her husband wasn't worth 10 children. But her trust in God was worth it. So she had never lost that. She went up to offer that double sacrifice, praying to the Lord. And the Lord would respond to her faith in him in a way far exceeding her expectations. She would not only become a mom, but God would bless her with the gift of becoming the mother of one of the greatest prophets, preparing the way for God's own beloved son. Sometimes we likewise need to repent. We can come into the chapel nursing grudges. We can come into the chapel rather than keeping the eyes of our heart fixed on the Lord. They can be darted sometimes toward others and not in positive ways. We can fail to see that the Lord is asking us to grow in faith, grow in our following him, growing our fishing precisely through the mercy that we are called to extend to others, which always begins in our prayer. That is the telltale sign that the kingdom of God is at hand for us, and that we have turned away from worldly ways and, because of trust, entered on into it when we begin to fish, even in our prayers, so that others may be tugged closer and closer to the Lord by that divine fishing hook. And as we pray in the litany of humility, even if they're tugged more closely than we. As we come forward today to celebrate this Mass, God with us, God saves, the King of that kingdom comes into our life just as really as he did in the life of the four apostles in today's gospel. At the beginning of this Mass, he summoned us again to repent and turn to his mercy. He's asked us through these readings to believe in him as if we're believing for the first time, to allow him to give us that great gift of an increased faith. He's asking us today not just to follow him on the outside, but to move with him from the inside out as he casts us into Manhattan. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.